introduce myself, if I'm not mistaken. And one has come, but they'll be dribbling in here little by little, I'm sure. And I work here at Glen Eyrie with the single women who live and work at Glen Eyrie. I think I'll wait for just a second. I see some people who I knew were coming, so we'll just wait until they come in here too. Is everyone who's sitting in this room a student, or are you, some of you came along as non-students, or? You what? You keep your youth very well. Yeah. And is everyone else going to school? Oh, yes. Super. And here come the neighbors, right? Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Yeah. That's why I'm sitting in the back seat. Yeah. Why don't we just start out by singing a song on page 230. I'm sure most of you know this, but that'll be a way of drawing everybody in here who's planning on coming, maybe. Okay. Yeah. Did you all just come from a coffee break or a meeting? And I have a very low voice, so if we get this too low, you'll have to just... His name is wonderful. Come on, everybody sing. His name is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord, He is the mighty King, Master of everything. His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. He's the great Shepherd, the Rock of all ages. Almighty God is He. Bow down before Him, love and adore Him. His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord. And let's just begin with a word of prayer. Father, we just thank You for this really gorgeous day that You've given to us. We thank You that we can meet together in this way and just learn a wee bit more what it really means to be secure in Jesus, Your Son. Help us to see the simplicity of it and not to make life complex, and to realize that it really is simple. And many times the choice is just ours to decide. Help us, Lord, to walk out of here this morning just a wee bit more enlightened and also excited, because it isn't difficult, that there it is simplified. Father, I thank You for each one of these students and people who are out working who have come to join us for this conference. We pray now that You'll help us to forget about other things and to really concentrate this 1 hour and to learn from each other and to make it really profitable. In the name of Jesus, Your Son, we pray. Amen. I like music so much. I'm not a terrific singer or anything, but I think that if we'd had lots and lots of time today, I had these songbooks put here. I didn't put them here. But if we just took time to even just take some of the hymns and think about the words in these songs and sing these songs together, and think about what they mean, that in itself would really help us a lot, and what it really means to be secure in Christ. Now, I'm not belittling this most important book, the Bible, but sometimes we forget about the value of hymns as well. I know our time is short. We have maybe less than an hour, and I would love to get to know all of you, but that's impossible maybe sometime before, between now and the time you leave, I can sit down and have a meal with one or two of you or whatever. As you all know, you came to this session on security, and I know it just says the word security. Actually, I think it should really say security in Christ, because that's where our security has to be. But just thinking of today's world and what it's like, just in ourselves, it could be such an insecure place to live. Now, it's funny. A couple people came in and said, I gave them a verse to read, and said, I'm too insecure to read the verse, and they're laughing. Or someone said they're sitting in the back because they're very insecure people. But she's my friend, I think, yeah. But if we think of today's world and just what it's like, you look at the newspaper. I don't get a chance to read the newspaper as often as I'd like, or the news magazines or whatever. Seems like from cover to cover, anything you read could cause you to become even that much more insecure. Because you maybe know people who even hate to go walk out of their door because they become so insecure. You think of the violence, you think of drugs, you think of all kinds of things that are happening today that make people insecure. War and rumors of war. And it could happen here anytime. And just how we allow our minds to get everything out of focus, then we become that much more fearful. Just like here at Glen Eyrie, when I first came to Glen Eyrie, and she lived here longer ago than I, but you would just think of Glen Eyrie. She lived here longer ago than I, but I'm older than she, okay? But you think, yeah, as being so surrounded by mountains and being such a beautiful place, it'd be the most wonderful place to be, and nothing would happen that would cause you to feel insecure. But it seemed like a couple of years ago, there was a lot of vandalism that was taking place right here at Glen Eyrie. And I never thought of locking my car, and I heard of people used to keep their keys in their cars, their car, this one particular person's car disappeared, and when they found it later, they found it over an embankment, and it had been burned. So, I mean, even here at Glen Eyrie, things aren't as secure as you might think they would be. So when we think of insecurity, you think of fears and anxieties. And some of you people who are in school, some of your fears or anxieties might be, will I ever find a job when I graduate? Will I graduate? Can I pass that exam I'm taking next week? Or whatever. All kinds of things. If you're a married person, there are insecurities there. You have your rent to pay and your family to take care of. And you think of your children being reared and in today's world and what it's like and so on. All these things in our minds can mushroom and cause us to become even that much more insecure. But when we think of just the word secure or security, how would you define it? What would be some definitions that would come to your mind? We won't take much time because we don't have a lot of time, but I'd like to hear from some of you. What's the first thing that comes to the top of your mind when you think of that word? What? Okay, did you hear that? Feeling safe. What else? What would be another definition?
Peace of mind.
All right. Peace.
Accepted.
I'm repeating them just in case some of you can't hear them. Anyone else? I think what you've said is just really right on, and that's exactly what the dictionary says. To be strong. It uses the word even sufficient, without anxiety, free from fear, free from care, trust, confidence, safe, just as Valerie said, and protected. And he used the word accepted, and hope, certainty. Those are strong, strong words and can be very, very meaningful. Let's just stop for a moment. And I'd like to ask you, When do you feel most insecure? What makes you feel insecure? Be real honest. You're all a nice big family here. So we can keep this thing moving because of lack of time. Why don't you just feel the freedom to speak up?
New situation.
All right. New situations.
Criticism.
I couldn't hear you. Loneliness. Fear of losing relationships. Okay, very good. Having a lot to do with relationships, one or the other.
Thinking I should do something, and someone says, no, you got to do it this way. And then someone else says, no, you got to do it this way.
All right, this confusion, batting things back and forth. Not knowing what you should do. Anyone else? Okay, those are, he said, new situations. I think maybe new courses in school. I don't know. Maybe, was anyone fearful of skiing? If you've never done it before? I don't know. If I had plenty of time and I could tell you my stories about skiing, now I love it. I really like it. I like to ski beginner and intermediate, and I really like it. But before, I had great fears from just having had bad experiences in skiing. New people, new places, taking an exam, just not being sure of yourself. And you hear the little quote-unquote walking on thin ice. Well, literally walking on thin ice would certainly make you feel very fearful, wouldn't it? But if you're in a situation where you feel like you're walking on thin ice, you don't understand that situation quite well enough. You feel very, very insecure. All right, what about the opposite? What makes you feel most secure? Or where? Or what? Maybe it has to do with a person or a place. All right. Now, she can say that, her family and her home. And I don't know all of you people here, but I'm sure there's someone sitting here who says, wow, I wish I could say that. Because maybe you don't even have a family. Or you don't have a home. So it's so different for each one. It's good to hear her say that, so strong, with a nice big smile on her face. Because of her family and her home. What else?
Or maybe just a friend who has seen you fail and still accepts you and loves you.
There could be nothing better than that. A friend like that. Everybody needs a friend like that. Good. I think home, that's a place, isn't it? But it involves people. Then she mentioned a friend. Okay, when you're with a best friend who loves and accepts you no matter what, and you can tell that person anything, and they just accept you as you are. Others of you might be sitting in here saying, boy, I never feel secure. There is no time that I feel secure at all. And as Valerie said, she feels secure in her home. And some of you have had secure childhoods, and some of you have not. And so you need, we all need, I don't care how secure your family background was, your childhood, we all need to continue to walk in true security in Christ. But some of you who say, I've had no secure background, I always have had feelings of anxiety and fear and maybe tenseness, and there's been no happiness, and maybe not even at school. So you haven't had that privilege. But you can become a secure person. Anyone who just says, well, that's what it's like. That's what my background is like, so therefore I'll never be secure. That isn't true, because we can become. So how can you and I become a truly secure person? Now, I think we all know this answer. We all know these answers, but we maybe just need to hear it again and again and again. That kind of security has to be found outside of ourselves. It really can't be even in another person. 'Cause you've maybe had a friend Carolyn is such a, I think she must be a very secure person. I don't know if she is or not, but I'm just going to use her as an example. Maybe there's someone in here who's even placed Carolyn on a pedestal, and she's maybe fallen off that pedestal. And so that wasn't even, you couldn't even depend upon Carolyn. Now, I don't know if that's true, if that's ever happened. But see where we maybe grab a hold of a person even, and they become our security. That's not going to last because they're human. So it has to be found outside of ourselves, out, not even in other people, and not in things, because those too are going to fall apart. Some of you maybe have had security in an automobile, and you had an automobile wreck or something. But our security must be found in Jesus and in Jesus alone. And you say, well, I knew that before I came in here. Why did I come in? Well, maybe you don't really, but you haven't know how to really put that into practice and what that really means. But as we said, we fail. Others will disappoint us. They will fail us. And things don't last. So we can't put our security in ourselves or other people or things. We must get better acquainted with Jesus Christ, get to know him more deeply, to know his promises and to stand on his promises, because we know the promiser and we have to know him. And that takes a lifetime. It doesn't happen overnight. But we need a solid, secure, rock-bottom foundation for our life. Now, I don't know what... do you have any earthquakes or tremors down there in your part of the world? I don't know if you do or not. But if you've ever been where there's been an earthquake or a tremor, that's a really a funny feeling. Has anyone ever experienced that? Okay. Where did you live?
Washington.
Okay. All right. And I... So you know what that's like, don't you? Because nothing is very stable. You can even stand out on the street, and the street is even moving. I had that happen when I was in South America, in Peru. And that's a very funny feeling. But we need to know Jesus as our foundation, a real firm, solid foundation. They say this castle here was built on bedrock, and that General Palmer... when the men were digging down, they said, you go as deep as you have to get to bedrock, so that that place will really stand solid for years to come. And I think it is very, very well constructed. So we need to know Jesus as our foundation. Now, if there's anyone in here who has never even put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that has to be the beginning. So you have something to build your life on, that he becomes that solid, rock-bottom foundation. To know Jesus as your Savior and Lord, that's the place to start. And then to beginning to build on that through your times alone with him and your quiet time, prayer, Bible study, believing what he says to be true and obeying. Now, we aren't going to take the time to read this, but I'd like someone... could you... anyone know this little story in Matthew 7, 24 through 27... about the wise man building his house upon the what? What? Okay, and what happened? Okay, what was the opposite?
The man that built his house in sand. When the winds came and stuff, the house fell and the crevices fall.
Okay, but if we build our lives on Jesus, Matthew 7, 24 through 27, and that means obeying him, because that's what it says, then we're going to have solid, solid lives. And we need to step out on his promises and do what he says. If we had time, I'd like to have us every now and then stop and sing a song, but we aren't going to do it. But one song would be like Standing on the Promises of God. I have a whole list of titles of songs. I think music can really... mean so much in our lives. But I thought sometime, go back to that song. Sing it to yourself or read it. If you feel like you can't stand your own voice, then read it to yourself. Or if you like to sing and you know no one else can doesn't like your voice, well then just go off all by yourself and sing. Standing on the Promises of God. step out on his promises. The person who I gave the verse, Psalm 125, 1, and anyone who has these verses, if you'd have them ready in case I ask you to read it, would you stand up and maybe turn so everyone can hear you? Psalm 125, 1. Okay, as Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, solid foundation. Another good song for you to sing sometime would be, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less Than Jesus' Blood and Righteousness. And read those words and see what these old hymn writers wrote about. They're godly, godly men. Okay, so let's know him as our foundation. Secondly, let's know him as our refuge, a place to go, a place to hide. Okay, have you ever been caught in a snowstorm or a rainstorm? You get caught in rainstorms or windstorms or anything down there in Oklahoma? Tornadoes? Sometimes it's a hard place to find a place to go. Has anyone ever been in a tornado? Or recently in any kind of a storm? Anybody? Okay. But you all know at that point you want to run to a place to hide, a place of refuge. Now, and we need that. Now, you think, well, my home is a place of refuge. That's right. Boy, when it's been cold here and windy, I'm so thankful to have or my car can be a refuge. Under a tree can be a refuge, or wherever. Psalm 46:1, it says, God is our refuge and strength, the very present help in trouble. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. A verse that really means a lot to me. Proverbs 18:10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. It's a verse I never have to review, because it means so much to me. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe, a refuge. Proverbs 18:10. Psalm 18:1 and 2. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge. Just two songs along that line. I mean, you can put little notes or something and go back and sing them sometime. Hiding in Thee, Thou Blessed Rock of Ages, I'm hiding in Thee. Another one, Jesus is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Jesus, a shelter in the time of storm. Okay, what about Psalm 125, 2? Okay, he surrounds you. He protects you. He's your shelter. He's your refuge. That's what like Glen Eyrie really is. It's sort of surrounded here. Nice little shelter in one way. And then I said we have to be careful. All right, thirdly, knowing him as our dwelling place. Now, a refuge is a dwelling place too. But I think of a refuge as a place to hide, a place to run to, a place to go. But when I'm thinking of knowing him as our dwelling place, a place to live, a place to just be, a place where you can rest and relax, a place to grow. Now, those of you who are in school, not living at home, maybe your room is your dwelling place. I don't know. You might say, no, it isn't. There's somebody else in there who keeps it from being a dwelling place. I don't know. But I think your room would be a place after classes and so on. You can go back and even lying on your bed. Maybe your bed is your dwelling place when you're in school. I don't know. You know, like little children, how they like to get under something. They have their own little dwelling place. Under a desk, that's their little dwelling place, their little home. A place to be, a place to abide, a place to live. And that's what Jesus wants to be to us. John 15, now 1 through 17 would be a portion. You maybe can put an asterisk by it or something. Go back and read that to yourself. It's on abiding in Christ. Abiding in Him and He in you and you in Him. Living in Him. His living in you and you living in Him. It just goes together, intermeshes. To learn to live and dwell, abide, to be at home in Him. That you can, He's, and that home can travel with you, you know, just as you're walking. You, if you feel so close to Him, talk to Him about everyone, anything, you're at home in Christ. So you don't feel afraid to talk to Him about anything. You're abiding in Him wherever you are. You don't have to go anywhere. A good song to go with that would be Abide with Me. I think that's the name of it. Okay. But take John 15, 1 through 17, and learn what it means to abide, to dwell, to live in Him and He in you. That close, intimate fellowship. And really, I'll tell you something, that takes time. It really does. You're all young and vivacious, and you have a whole long life ahead of you if God chooses to give you a long life. And if you're beginning now to taste of that, just thank the Lord for that, that intimacy with Him. And if some of you aren't, talk to Him about it. If you really want an intimate relationship with Him, and He wants to give it to you, He doesn't withhold that. But it's if you want it or not. And that means spending time with Him. If you're going to have an intimate, abiding relationship with anyone, it takes a lot of time. I'm sure sitting in this room right here, there are some of you who would say, yeah, he's my best friend. I have a real close relationship with him. Or she's my best friend. I have a close, intimate relationship with her. Or here's a husband and wife back there. Have a real close, intimate relationship. And that's what He wants us to have with Him. To abide in Him. Psalm 91, I think, is a tremendous psalm having to do with our security in Him. Who has Psalm 91:1? You do? We could read the whole psalm, but we won't do that. All right, abide in the shadow of the Almighty. But that psalm, in my New American Standard, right under Psalm 91, this is what it says. Security of the one who trusts in the Lord. And we can't have that security unless we trust in Him and see Him in that way. But that's what it says in mine. Take that psalm, read it over, believe it, meditate on it. Have one or two portions of scripture like that that you always go back to when you may be feeling insecure. Go back and read it and say, Lord, help me. I want to really get a handle on this again. I thought I was secure in you, now I lost it. But He wants to help us because it's going to come back again and again. We'll talk more about that. I think of David the psalmist, Psalm 27. That's another terrific psalm. But verse 4. One thing have I asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in His temple, to enjoy that love relationship, that intimate relationship with Him. Okay, then I think we've been talking about a place. Now, the person, know Him as your shepherd. Knowing Him as our shepherd, the person who cares, the person who really cares is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Now maybe sitting right here, if we had lots of time, and I asked you, who is that person in your life? One of you, some of you would say, my dad. That's what my dad is like to me. And I think that is fantastic. Maybe some of you'd say, wow, I wish I had a dad. But others of you could be an uncle or a grandfather. or a mother or an aunt, one who's really cared for you and looks out for you. And you can tell, boy, they've really looked out for me, and I haven't even appreciated it. But they've been just like shepherds to me. A person who loves you, listens to you, feels with you, cares for you. We need that kind of friend. And he is the friend, capital F-R-I-E-N-D, who sticks closer than a brother when everybody else leaves. And even if your parent, who is that to you, dies, if you get to know him as that kind of a friend. Who has Isaiah 40:11?
Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes.
Would you read that again? I just love that verse so much. And listen to what it says. And just picture in your mind this shepherd.
Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm, he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes.
Thank you. That's a terrific verse to think about. And all those verbs in there that tell us what he wants to be to us. Psalm 23 is another one. If we had lots of time, we could read this book here together. A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. I'd advise you to read that. I think that's excellent on just what we're talking about, security in Christ. Or Isaiah 41:10, and you all know that. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. Strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. As a shepherd, don't fear. Don't be afraid. I'll take care of you. A song I think of. Do you know the song Gentle Shepherd? It's a beautiful, beautiful song. It's in this hymnal, too, and you could look at that. Read over those words in there. And the tune is so beautiful, besides. Another one would be leaning on the everlasting arms. And those are the arms of Jesus. Exodus 33:27, it says, the eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. I'll just refer to this book. Here's another good book. It's called In My Father's House by Corrie Ten Boom. And she talks a lot about her father and how her father would just remind his children, Corrie being one of them, that underneath are the everlasting arms. I put in a lot of little papers in here. If we had had lots of time, I was going to read portions of this to you. But it's excellent. And her father would have been like that to her because he pointed her to the great shepherd, Jesus. And I think that's what you parents want to do, and you people as you become parents, and those that you're helping.
What was that last reference?
That eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. If someone has a concordance, maybe you can take one of those words and look it up and then let us know what that verse is. Oh, thank you very much. I'm going to change it right now. Deuteronomy 33:27? Okay. I appreciate that very much. If that happens again, just please let me know. Okay. In other words, all of this boils down to knowing Him. Knowing Him. That takes a lifetime. But it's a day-by-day, step-by-step process. Knowing Him, trusting Him, obeying Him. If you know Him, we have to step out in trusting Him and obeying Him, because if we don't obey Him, we don't really know Him. We just say we know Him, because obedience is a part of knowing Him. Is that really your heart's desire, to know Him? Like Paul, Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him. Do you pray like Matthew 5:6? Lord, I want to really hunger and thirst after you and to be satisfied in you. If that's your heart's desire, then you'll be learning a little bit more of of a real security in Him, believing that He has the very best in mind for you. Do you believe that? Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing, no perfect thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Or Jeremiah 29:11. Somebody quote that for us here. I can't hear you, though. Come on. I hope you all can hear that because I can't hear, but that's all right. I think you all know it, okay? Good. All right. Now, what blocks you from being secure in Christ? Or what blocks you from growing in this security in Him? I think one would be fears, just as we talked about. Fears from your past. Fears from present. Things that are happening to you presently. Fears of things that are happening, going to happen in the future. Worries. And you know what they say, that, what is it, 99% of all the things you worry about never happen? So why worry about it? And you know how people say, why pray when you can worry? You know? But these fears. In Psalm 34:4, I sought the Lord and He answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Now, I think we should really be specific with God. Now, I don't know if you might say, well, He doesn't take them away from me. But have you ever asked Him to? I definitely remember a time when I just took that verse and I was in a situation where I was really fearful. And I said, Lord, this is what you say in Your Word, that if I seek You, that You will answer me and You'll deliver me from this fear. And He really did. So let's really pray even specifically and then act on it. And I really think that He will take away that fear. John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you what? Free. He wants us to free. He wants to free us from our fears or whatever as we step out in His truths. I know I'm giving you hundreds of verses here, but Galatians 5:1, even in the King James it says, and I know I said even in the King James, some people maybe don't use it, and I just happen to have memorized in it. It says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And I think one of those bondages we put around ourselves is fear. We just get ourselves all wrapped up and bound up with ropes and chains of fear. But those fears can be snapped if we take Him at His word, like this verse we just read, I quoted Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not. Do you ever, when you're in the midst of a fearful situation, really go through some of those verses with Him? Have you experienced a peace that passeth all understanding because you prayed even about that fear and you saw that fear X'd out and you had a new freedom in Him? Another thing that would block you would be lack of trust. Well, all of these go together, and I'm not saying by the time I have read through these, you can just boil it down to maybe one or two. But lack of trust can have a lot to do with fear. I think another one, number three, could be unconfessed sin. All you need to do is use 1 John 1:9. Don't let those sins pile up. Confess it immediately. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Use that verse again and again and again and again throughout the day, because that verse is just as good now as it was 5 minutes ago and for the rest of your lives. Another thing that would block being secure in Christ would be just capital S, capital E, capital L, capital F, self. I think one way that it would show itself would be just self-sufficiency. You know, that you really feel like in yourself you can do it without him. And if we do it without him, it's really isn't worth anything. Like 2 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything is of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of him. Because self can really get in the way. Number 5, and it would be one of these others too, would be just disobedience. Just outright, blatant disobedience. I think number 6 would be just comparing yourself with other people. Because you're really sort of grabbing on thinking, actually that's self also. But comparing yourself with others. Number 7 would be a poor self-image. Now, maybe we could talk all day about that. And I think sometimes, here again, I think that can be something, generally speaking, that can be settled if we want it to be. If he lives in you, then we should stand tall in Christ, not poor me. But the worthy one indwells our lives, therefore we should stand tall in him. If he lives in you, he is worthy. You are special to him. So if you can really think of that, Christ lives in me. I should not be thinking less of him, but he lives in me. The worthy one indwells me. Self-worth, self-esteem, self-image. Maybe think too much of self and be dwelling on that. Like Eugenia Price says this book out, Leave Yourself Alone. May we get our eyes off of ourself and onto him. But stand tall in Christ. Number 8, trying to find your security, like we said before, in yourself, in others, in things, in your grades, in your personality, your clothes, your money, your car, your lack of money, whatever. You know, there are all kinds of things, endless things. And as I looked over this list that I'd made, I thought, actually, I could just boil it down and say, what blocks you from being secure in Christ? It's really our eyes on our, what? Selves. Eyes on self. Really? But I think these 8 things that I gave you, and if we had lots of time, I could ask you for more, and we maybe could get 28 things to put down on this list that would block us from growing in our security in Christ. But it's really our eyes on ourself. Okay, now let's just look at the other side. What would be some evidences of security in Christ? And I'd like to tell you right now, I think I'll give you 8 things here too, but I'd like to begin this by saying it's just the opposite. It's your eyes off of yourself and your eyes onto Jesus and onto other people. Not what I can get from other people, but how can I help other people? Getting your eyes off of ourselves, onto Christ, and onto other people. How can I help, or you through me, Lord, benefit other people? But I think one evidence of security in Christ, and it's already been mentioned here, would be peace. Experiencing that peace that passeth all understanding, where you pray and get rid of those worries and anxieties, Philippians 4, 6 through 7. And with thanksgiving, experience a peace that passeth all understanding. And I'll tell you, this doesn't happen overnight, but if you begin to practice little by little by little by little, you begin to experience a little bit more what it really means to know security in Christ. So then be grateful for that. We'll talk, stop and come to the end. We don't have a lot of time left. But I hope that before you even leave or go back to Oklahoma, you'll have just maybe cracked open that door a little bit. Second one would be what they're talking about downstairs. Evidence of security in Christ would be contentment. Philippians 4:11, Paul said, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am in. I don't know, even in your young life that you've lived, I'm sure some of you are thinking, you know, because the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. You've heard that, haven't you? Now that a couple of you or a few of you are out of school, you might think, wow, it was really better to be in school. Now, those of you who are in school, you say, well, I can't wait till I get out of school. Or, I shouldn't have taken those courses. Maybe I should change my major, take these. Or, if I only had a white car instead of a black one. Someone else might say, I wish I had a car. If I only had a car like so-and-so has, or whatever. But if you can learn, in even a small manner, what it means to be content with what you have and where you are and who you are in Christ. All right, another evidence of security in Christ would be joy that will show even on your face. And a verse, I think, to go along with that, Psalm 87:7. It says, all my springs of joy are in you. I love that verse. All my springs of joy are in you. Some translations just say, all my springs. And I'm so glad I found a translation that says, all my springs of joy are in you. Anyway, but springs, I think, is something continuous and refreshing and never ending. All right, number four, another evidence would be confidence. Confidence. Proverbs 3:26, it says, for the Lord will be your confidence. You know, even sometime when you don't maybe feel real confident, say, Lord, you indwell me. Help me to even to move in confidence because you want to be my confidence. And that can make you stand tall in Christ. Number five, and this has been mentioned here before, knowing and experiencing His love and acceptance. Ephesians chapter 1, or maybe all of Ephesians, just knowing that you are accepted in the Beloved. You're accepted in Him. And number six would be just rest. And you say, oh, good, I need rest. But Matthew 11:28-30, it says, come unto me. And then the end of it says, and I will give you rest. Learn of me, and I'll give you rest. You might say, well, that isn't what I mean. I need physical rest. Well, I'll tell you something. It all goes together. And that I think if you're really not at rest in any emotionally disrupted or whatever, then there are emotional leaks which affect you mentally and physically and spiritually. It all goes together. So sometime you might say, I'm so tired, but I got 8 hours of sleep last night, and I got 8 hours of sleep the night before, and 8 hours of sleep the night before that. But I'm so tired. Then there must be an emotional leak. And He wants to plug that up with Himself. Number seven, just being relaxed. That'd be just another part of it, I think. Relaxed and being at rest. Psalm 46:10, relax and know that I am God. Cease striving and know that I am God. And number eight would be, I think you just become a real fruit bearer, a bearer of fruit, bearing fruit. Your character change, that's a type of bearing fruit. And then seeing other people come to Christ because you're not thinking of yourself. Well, we need to think rightly of ourselves, but where our eyes are off of poor me and woe is me, but our eyes are on Jesus and on to others because we think rightly about ourselves. So that would be eyes off of self and onto Jesus and onto others. And if we had more time, we'd do more things. We don't have time. I'd like to just have us summarize this a little bit. To be secure, is that clear or not? It isn't, is it? Is it? Is it, if I get out of the way? All right. To be secure, just to summarize it, I think, just seek His face. Psalm 27:8, Hebrews 11:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. Matthew 6:33 is a fantastic verse. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Step out on his promises. Entrust your whole life to him. Hold back nothing. Just don't hold back anything. If you're holding back anything, then I can see why you'd be insecure. Entrust your whole life to him. Concentrate on his character. Who is he to you? Get to know who he is. You can turn that around instead of a question. Who is he? Who he is to me. His love, his faithfulness, his mercy, his forgiveness, his strength, his grace. Is he your rock, your refuge, your fortress, your all? Then I think the crux is right down here. You decide. You decide if you're going to allow him to be this to you. You make that decision day by day, minute by minute. If you decide, you choose if you're going to trust him. You choose if you're going to let him be in control of every aspect of your life and allow him to be your security. Those are daily decisions, hourly decisions, maybe even quarter of hour decisions. And then I think you will experience what we talked about. You begin to experience this rest and enjoyment, because you'll be free to rest in him and to relax and enjoy him, to enjoy other people, and to enjoy yourself. An excellent verse. I've got the reference down here, and I don't know if any other reference it says this, but I think it's really interesting. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy security. In other translations, it says dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. I think it should say trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness so you can enjoy security. And then you will enjoy security. And maybe amplify it in that fashion. But to enjoy security. Okay, I just want to put up one other little thing here. And what to do when you feel or know you're insecure. And I think that can boil down to really just two things. I said, I just wrote down here, pray. They said, pray? That's too easy. Or you know, sometimes, we have to be careful, not just glibly say, oh, you know, pray about it. But talk it over with Jesus. You know, and then possibly talk it over with a real close friend who can pray with you. Is this better if I... Ooh, I better not... Better watch where I'm going. Am I in your way so you can't see this? Well, whatever. Who can pray with you and for you and to help you. To help you, maybe all you have to do is get it out on the table and they can help you put it together. And for them to encourage you. But I just put a little A and B. If you don't know what is wrong, but you know you feel insecure, just pray Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lord, just sort of surface it. Is there something that I'm holding back from you? And he'll make it plain and clear to you. Or if it's some unconfessed sin, just confess it, deal with it immediately. He forgives immediately. I think pray and get help from a friend. And then remember who he is to you. He is everything if you allow him to be. Know his attributes, his character. Get to know that little by little. And then remember who you are in Him. You're special. You are very important to Him. Remember that. Don't forget that. Remember. The word remember, I think, is a very important word to remember. Okay? I think you need to have certain scriptures. You don't need to have tons of them. Certain scriptures that you always go back to read over, to chew over, to meditate over. Maybe you always go back to Psalm 23. That's fine. That's an excellent psalm. It's not a psalm that you say, well, I learned that when I was in first grade in Sunday school. Still just terrific. Use it. Know Him as your shepherd. Have some certain scriptures to go over. Sing a hymn with security and Jesus in mind. Or read those words over. Or listen to music that really ministers to your heart and your life. That sort of puts you at peace and rest in Him. We need our eyes on Jesus, from whom our security comes. That's who we need our eyes on Jesus. You all finished with that? I'm just going to show you, just for fun, last night. I just wrote out. I looked through a hymnal. And you don't need to write these down. You take out your own hymnal. And it would be endless. These first ones that I wrote down would have to do with what we basically talked about today. Under His wings, the solid rock, the hiding place. Abide with me, a shelter in the time of storm. A mighty fortress is our God. Gentle shepherd, He hideth my soul. Hiding in Thee, how firm a foundation is Jesus our Lord. Leaning on the everlasting arms, my faith has found a resting place. Here's the song I thought was interesting. I don't know it, but you might want to look at it. Security, I'd never heard of it. But the words are so good. It's on page 496, if you have time to look at it sometime. I don't know it. You might know it. The haven of rest. The Lord's our rock, in Him we hide. There is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. And then I just thought we could have made an endless list that have to do with His attributes or character. Great is Thy faithfulness. He giveth more grace. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Peace, perfect peace. Trusting Jesus. Jesus is Lord of all. Why don't we just sing one verse of Great is Thy Faithfulness, and then we'll close with a word of prayer. If we would have had a little extra time, I'd like to have had you had about 5 minutes or so just to... I'd like to let you've been able to ask questions. I'd also like to have had you had like 5 minutes where you've just been quiet by yourself to think of maybe one thing that you should take from this for you to do that would help you to just grow a little bit more in your security in Christ.